Welcome to The Procurement Show.
Hello and welcome to The Procurement Show, the show that tackles the topics we all need to think about. I'm Jonathan O'Brien.
And I'm Paul Philpott. And apparently this weekend I'm arranging a photo shoot for Jonathan. I have no idea why.
Just watch where they put the staples. So this week we're looking at procurement in the financial service industry.
The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, training procurement teams worldwide to deliver outstanding results.
And to help us, our guest today started his career at GE and progressed through a series of operational commercial roles. He did an MBA and applied to work at JP Morgan Chase. He states he didn't know what indirect sourcing was when he applied, but thought he'd interview for the role anyway, and then ended up landing a marketing category manager role at JP Morgan Chase. From there, he moved through a number of roles at JPMC and was instrumental, in fact, in transforming the organization's procurement to adopt category management. He then moved to Wells Fargo to drive procurement transformation, and he is now the CPO at Nationwide, a US-based insurance and financial services provider. Please welcome live from Columbus, Ohio, Joseph Hanofsky to The Procurement Show. Joseph, welcome. It's really great that you could join us today.
Jonathan, Paul, thank you so much for having me.
No problem.
For those of you who aren't familiar with Nationwide, I'll just give you a quick background.
Please.
We're one of the world's largest financial services and insurance companies. We offer personal life investment products. We're headquartered in Columbus, Ohio, and we are proud to be celebrating 100 years in business this year.
What do you think are the unique challenges in the financial services industry?
I've spent about 15 years in sourcing and procurement in BFSI, and I'll tell you, it's very unique, it's very complex, very heavily regulated, and for the right reasons. We have a data environment that is incredibly important for us to protect. It is really, really hard to become a new supplier in financial services. And the reason for that is the importance of cybersecurity and uptime cannot be understated. We have to have our customers have the ability to get to their money, and we also have to make sure that we're protecting that money and their safety. So we're continuously assessing data, cyber, operational risk here at Nationwide across hundreds of suppliers. We use lots of different tooling to be able to do that. And so those things all pulled together drive us to think about things like cost, innovation, and resilience across our supply chain. And so I'll just say specifically in the procurement space, we want to make sure that we are finding the right suppliers for the right price, and while also trying to avoid a vendor lock-in where we can get in troubles in the long term where a supplier could take advantage of us. And so that's really what our goal is in sourcing and procurement, is to help our stakeholders who are trying to solve these business problems really navigate this complex regulatory environment.
Okay, so let's talk about data protection some more, because you're going to be processing customer data, some of it very sensitive, especially if any of it involves Jonathan. So how do you go about outsourcing that kind of operations, dealing with customer-facing activities, with all the complexities that come with that in mind?
We're in a trust-based business. You wouldn't want to invest with a company or have insurance with a company that you can't trust. And so our customers' trust is really the most important thing for us in the financial services industry. And I'll tell you, if there is a supplier that can offer a lower price but can't meet our cyber security protections, or they can't meet our data protection requirements, we won't go with them. It's just not worth it. And so that is really job one from a contracting perspective. We have contracting standards that include things like data security, confidentiality, data privacy, service levels. And so these are all important that we package all of those up to ensure that contractually we have our arms around our data and any data that our suppliers would have. And then we are also doing ongoing due diligence around periodic vendor assessments in terms of their frameworks, what they're doing to make sure that we keep our data secure. And lastly, I chair Nationwide's third-party risk committee, where we're constantly looking at our suppliers, that our committee governs our policies, but we're also looking at what is our risk appetite. We're doing risk reviews. Do we have suppliers that might have financial risk? And so it's a constant mix of things that we have to take into consideration to ensure that we're protecting our customers' data.
So taking that to another step, because clearly Nationwide, it's a big US company. It's a brand that people know. It's a brand that people trust. And clearly that translates into many of the sourcing decisions that you make there. You listed a number, which in my head, that's the business requirements you're then pushing out there with your supply base. So given that, does that limit or restrict who you can go with? You said if you come up with a supplier that doesn't meet your strict cybersecurity requirements, you're not going to go with them. Does that mean that the marketplace is slightly smaller because you need to maintain that trust for your customers?
Yeah, it absolutely is, Jonathan. Nationwide's purpose is to protect people, businesses, and futures with extraordinary care. And we in procurement, we have to embody that. We want suppliers that are going to represent our brand and not just be a vendor. We want our suppliers that are going to mirror our concern for our customers and their data. Also, I'll just say table stakes are things like acting ethically, legally, et cetera. And we have a supplier code of conduct that we make our suppliers agree to. So I would say that definitely does narrow the opportunity of suppliers that we take a look at. And there are definitely businesses that potentially want to use suppliers that can't agree to this. And that's part of my role, is to deliver the bad news that they unfortunately can't be a supplier to Nationwide now. I'll just say it's been very common in my experience across FSI. And I'll just say specific to Nationwide, I mentioned we've been in business for 100 years. And part of being in business for 100 years is also doing business with the right partners for a long time. We want to work with suppliers who want to be long-term partners with us. And we're a mutual, and that allows us to prioritize our customers and think a little bit more long-term versus short-term market pressures to go with some of the lower costs. And so that allows us to be, I'll just say, very selective and strategic in terms of who we do business with.
So the business has been going for 100 years. So obviously procurement has been part of that since day one. You're no doubt an integral part of how the organization achieves its objectives. But I guess a wider angle that I'd like to explore with you is how the financial services industry works with and adopts the assistances that procurement can bring to that industry. Does it tend to get on with procurement? Does it find procurement an enabler or a challenger?
A little bit of both. We can't always say yes. That's part of our role in sourcing and procurement, is to make sure that we've got the right balance in mind. The mindset that we try to take is to be real strategic advisors. We want to be trusted advisors to our business, and trust is earned. And so we have to go through and demonstrate that we are here to help solve problems. We're not here just to be compliance. That's not what we're here for. We're here to help find the right supplier while managing risk. And a quick story, it wasn't at Nationwide, but I had a marketing executive at one point ask me to negotiate the sale of their home. That's a real trusted advisor. And so that's a use case that I share with my team to strive for, is that you want your stakeholders to trust you in that sort of way.
And did you get a good deal? Did you pull it off? Does he speak to you?
I ended up declining the opportunity due to conflict of interest. I did ask at the time if that would be possible, and I just gave him some advice.
Yeah. All we want to know now is what you were like as a realtor, kind of like walking around showing people around a house now. This just got a completely different impression of you. That's all I'm saying.
And now it's time for this week's fun fact.
The Coca-Cola Company is the world's largest user of aluminium cans, producing over 112 billion cans of drink every year. As such, is one of the world's biggest buyers of aluminium. It buys over 300,000 tons of aluminium sheets annually. This means that a small change in aluminium prices can ripple through its entire global operation.
The fun fact. Contact us by email, hello@theprocurementshow.com, or connect with us on LinkedIn. Search for The Procurement Show. The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, the home of category management that delivers breakthrough results.
Just to follow on, actually, what you were saying about procurement. So you mentioned trust is a big thing, but that's not going to be the only indicator that you use in order to make the decisions that you have to make. What factors do you bring in? Is it also risk? You mentioned risk, but no doubt there's an element of cost. There's also security of supply. How do you build the bigger picture when you decide who you're going to work with?
We start off with doing a lot of make versus buy decisions around, does it make sense for us to buy the service? Or does it make sense for us to be able to do the work internally with our workforce? Or can we develop the software? So that's the first step. And then if we decide we want to buy the service, we will hopefully typically go to the marketplace and do a RFP or a tender. And when we do that, we're typically using a weighted scorecard. And so obviously it's going to depend on what the use case is, but it's going to factor in things like price, operational efficiency. Is it a new relationship or an existing relationship? Are we becoming too dependent on a supplier? That's something that we also have to take in mind. Is there a certain feature or functionality that a software or service provides us that's differentiating? Do they have a very large amount of market share? And we do a lot of market research. That's another value, you know, that sourcing and procurement bring is if you are in the marketplace looking for a piece of software or a service, my team are going to come to you and have an opinion on here are providers to think about and take a look at. And we pride ourselves on, I tell this to my stakeholders all the time, I promise I'm not going to make you pick the lowest cost provider. What's the most important to me is that they're going to deliver the most value to Nationwide and be able to solve our customers' problems.
I've worked with a lot of financial services, insurance services type industry. And I think the one thing that I've noticed is as a sector, it's really, really slow to change. It's like trying to turn a great big cargo ship round. Much of the procurement in many parts of that industry seems like it's still quite tactical around buying things, around contracting and tendering. So I guess two questions. Things like the advanced procurement stuff using approaches such as category management and SRM, is that something that you're driving in within Nationwide? And would you say that the industry is starting to become more strategic, more advanced, or has it still got some way to go?
I'm friends with, I'll just say, a lot of CPOs at big FSI. So I want to say that we're all advancing, but there's definitely going to be variance sort of wherever you go. And I think what we all have in common is that we want to make sure that we're balancing our strategic goals with overall the risk. And that's a delicate balance. And you say slow and I say deliberate, potato, potato, but we really want to make sure that we're thinking about things like, is this a one-way door or a two-way door? And so if it's a two-way door, then if things don't work out, we can go in another direction. But when we're making a decision to go through a one-way door, we're going to be very deliberate because in all likelihood, we're going to be there for a long time. And so we're going to contract appropriately. And so those are all the types of things that we're taking into account. But I do think that because of our focus on protecting our customers' data, risk, and resilience, we might be more deliberate than maybe some of the other verticals. But I do think from a procurement perspective, we are continuing to evolve. And the other thing that I really try to focus on with our team is we want to go and we want to drive velocity on lower risk, lower dollar transactions. Because if we can demonstrate that we can go fast when it's easy and it's low risk, then when we spend time being more deliberate about the higher risk, more strategic transactions, we get some grace. And so those are the types of things that we're always trying to balance to be able to go fast to meet the business needs while also making sure that we're following our fiduciary and risk responsibility.
You quite rightly put a strong emphasis on protecting customers' data. Jonathan also made the analysis that the industry tends to be very slow to maneuver and take risk. So therefore, going down the road of, you know what, AI, you're going to be quite slow, I guess, to adopt that technology, especially unleashing it on all your customers' data, aren't you?
We are being deliberate. First of all, I want to share, I use AI personally every day. I use it to help build my marathon training schedules. I use it for book recommendations.
Sorry.
I use it for book recommendations. I use it for planning family vacations. So I am an active user with AI, and I think my LLM might know me better than my wife of 25 years does. But I'll just say from an industry perspective, and Nationwide in particular, we're investing $1.5 billion over the next 3 years in technology and innovation, and $100 million a year of that over the next 3 years is for AI. We have a red team, blue team concept where we have a blue team that's trying to advance and a red team that's trying to, you know, make sure that we're really taking risks into account. And that really helps us balance compliance, ethical use of data, et cetera. The way that we think about AI tools is people connected, machine enabled. And we have everyday AI tools here at Nationwide today. And in procurement, I think AI personally is a huge, huge opportunity. We've developed a tool called Contract AI, I know, very unique name. But that tool that we've developed helps us quickly compare things like red lines. It helps search our large database of contracts very quickly to look for things like key terms for if there's a specific region that we need to go and hone in on. And that makes the life of the procurement professional much more enjoyable. I'm sure you both have had the joy of having to dig through a whole stack of contracts to try to figure out if you've got the right language inside of a certain agreement because something happened. I know I've had to do that many times. And the tooling and capability that we are seeing from AI is really going to make the life of the procurement professional more enjoyable. And it's also going to help us be able to advise our stakeholders much quicker and allow them to make more decisions. So we are adopting AI at Nationwide. We are doing it in a very thoughtful way. We always have a human on the loop. And I think it's a really, really big opportunity from a procurement perspective to drive velocity and drive business enablement.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Huge, huge potential. Yeah. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Meet Ruby.
Hello.
Your negotiation co-pilot powered by AI.
Oh, yes.
Ruby guides you and your team to plan your negotiation.
Yay.
And because it's built on the famous red sheet method, you can be certain of the best outcome. And if you need help, just ask Ruby.
I'll help you.
Or access the onboard learning.
Don't forget.
I haven't forgotten. I'm saving the best till last. Because Ruby can then do the negotiation. Using AI and our 20 years negotiation experience, Ruby is one of the best trained negotiators you will find. If you want to win, role play with Ruby.
Yay.
To find out more, just search Ruby Negotiation or visit positivepurchasing.com.
The Procurement Show with Jonathan O'Brien.
I want to just come back to how the FSI is developing and how it's changing, because if we think about that fundamental procurement decision, make versus buy, and we look in the financial services sector, it's traditionally gone for the make. The risk-averse way to approach something, a need that you have, is to do it in-house. Is that still the case, or is that changing?
It's definitely evolved. There's definitely variation from FSI to FSI. And so when I know that there are some very large FSIs that have always had an inclination towards buying, it just so happens that the FSIs that I've largely worked in have been more on the make side. But it is definitely an evaluation that we will continue to do. And with some of the AI tools that we're seeing, it probably is going to drive even more towards the opportunity to make, because the tooling to be able to develop software is becoming much more readily available. I think there's always going to be a need for some very large technology platform system of record to be in place, because the feature functionality that they can bring isn't something that you could ever develop in-house. And if you could, it wouldn't be cost productive to do that. And so I think there's always going to be a need for SaaS. You know, I've read about the SaaSpocalypse. And so there's always going to be a need for some SaaS. But, you know, I do think that there is much more opportunity for things like local development of teams, that instead of buying a small piece of what used to be called middleware, we would go and develop it ourselves. So I think that's really interesting. The last thing I'll say for make versus buy is, we have a very close relationship in procurement with our friends in technology architecture. The person that runs architecture here at Nationwide, he's actually one of my best running friends. And because of that, when we go on long runs together, we'll often talk about what are we buying and why, which is just an absolutely fascinating conversation. But I've had similar relationships at all the FSIs that I've worked at, because making sure that we've got a good architectural reason for adding a piece of software really helps enable the buying process. And again, I go back to the one-way door versus two-way door. Those are all things that architects can really relate to. And so a lot of times in sourcing and procurement, we have to play sort of the glue role. And the architects are doing that as well from a technology standpoint in terms of how things are put together. And so that partnership, I think, is really, really important when you're doing the make versus buy consideration.
Yeah, and that's a really good way of approaching it. So you're thinking about the technology that you might need to fulfill a purpose to fit in a slot rather than just buying a shiny thing because somebody said, hey, you need the shiny thing. That's something that many companies are missing right now. They're just buying the shiny things. They're not figuring out how it fits within an overall strategy.
I'm just resonating with all the motivational stuff that's coming from Joe at the moment because he goes on long runs with his friend.
Yeah.
Right? And he asks the question, what are we buying and why?
Yeah.
We go on short walks and we ask the question, what are we eating and when?
That is true.
Yeah. Joe, let's talk a little bit about the trends and what's happening in the world of FSI when it comes to procurement. You know, things like transformation, innovation, change, and when change needs to happen based on what the near future might look like. How easy is it to proceed with such changes?
We're in a time of significant change right now. I think AI is really the grease in the gears of driving that change. In terms of overall transformation, I like to tell everyone there's a CPO basically at every Fortune 500 company. And so it's as much culture as it is anything in terms of trying to go and drive change. I emphasize being a trusted advisor. I probably said that word 3 times on this podcast, and I'll probably say it 50 times today. And so when you come into a relationship or you come into a company and try to drive transformation, if they know that your mindset is you want to enable, you want to drive velocity on low-risk transactions, you want to be a trusted advisor and spend a lot of time on the really important things, I think it's a lot easier to drive the transformation because you get buy-in from your stakeholders, you get buy-in from the finance community because they understand what your rationale is. And so I've been really encouraged, and I'm really encouraged by AI and how much AI is going to help us enable that ability to continue to transform and that ability to be trusted advisors because we can ask the right questions, we can look into the right data sources. And the other thing that I found with AI that's really helpful is just from a communication standpoint. One thing that I find is, gosh, it really drives your stakeholders mad if they have to continually come to you for updates. So why not just set up a continuous communication stream so that you're providing them updates? And it's amazing how happy your stakeholders are. Instead of them having to follow up with you every few days, if you say, hey, I'm going to give you an update once a week, they're really, really happy to receive it. So I think there's things that we can do as procurement professionals to help us drive transformation and change what the overall perception is of procurement.
And now it's time for this week's Ask Jonathan.
And today's Ask Jonathan comes from Hiroto Watanabe from Osaka, Japan. Hiroto writes, Dear Jonathan, I'm a very big fan of the excellent The Procurement Show, and I write to ask if I may have a question answered. My question is nearshoring actually reducing risk, or are companies just swapping one set of problems for another? My gracious thank you for your time.
That's a very good question. Thanks, Hiroto. I think that is the first question we've ever had from Japan. So really great to hear from you. Really great that you're listening in Japan. Is nearshoring just swapping one set of problems for another? Really interesting question. So I think first, why are companies nearshoring? Well, they're nearshoring in response to all of the supply chain disruptions that we've seen in recent years and the increasing risk and supply chain volatility. So what we once thought was a global market you could source from anywhere just isn't. And it's very industry specific, it's very supply chain specific in terms of understanding the particular risks that you have. But there is a trend away from globalization to nearshoring, to rightshoring. In essence, it's about having more control over your supply chains. The other extreme of that is many companies have gone for vertical integration, bringing what was previously outsourced to a provider somewhere in the world into their own operation, which may still be done in another part of the world, but with factories, with producers, with people that they own, control, and can manage. So that gets rid of some of the risks, but again, if war breaks out, if it's difficult to move physical stuff around the world, that doesn't really help. So the reality is there is this global trend to nearshoring. I think that management of risk is always something that we in procurement need to do. And right now it's around where that risk in the world lies. But tomorrow it may be a different risk. It may be more cyber related, AI type risks. It may be something else. So I think you've got to have a bigger perspective on this and to say, if we're doing procurement well, we are understanding those risks today, predicting what they're going to be tomorrow, and we're also having a strategy for how we're going to do stuff. So today we might be nearshoring, but next year we might be actually looking to perhaps go to another country, perhaps, that we haven't previously gone to. So if you look at all the countries that people have sourced from historically, there's been this move away from China. But one of the big continents that people haven't really moved to yet is Africa, but it has a willing workforce of tomorrow, doesn't have the infrastructure to be able to enable that yet. That's changing pretty quickly. And there are other sectors of the world, South America, for example, as well. So I think it's about nearshoring is a response to risk. It's not swapping one set of problems for another. What it's doing is it's understanding that risk and it's dealing with that risk, and that may well change tomorrow. So I think look at it as a risk management approach rather than necessarily a trend that's here to stay.
Fascinating. I think understanding risk in the new world is probably a whole episode. So I think Rose has given us some good ideas here as well through this question. Thank you very much. And if you want to ask Jonathan, here's how to get in touch.
Ask Jonathan. Email your question to jonathan@theprocurementshow.com. You might be part of the next show. The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, the home of category management that delivers breakthrough results.
How do you manage your supply base in terms of suppliers that you need to work with more closely, those suppliers that are really important, even strategic in some way? So, two-part question, how do you decide which suppliers are important? And then how do you go about figuring out how you're going to work with those suppliers?
We've got a classic 2x2 in terms of value that they're bringing. And also, obviously, risk is a really important factor for us. So we've got hundreds of suppliers at Nationwide that provide us general services. But we really focus in on, depending on the group that I'm talking to, typically about 30 to 90 suppliers, where we're going to think about things like quarterly business reviews, driving integration, deeper innovation. How are they thinking about AI? Where are they investing? Are there things that are happening elsewhere in the BFSI community that we should be thinking about? And so I think it's really important with your most strategic suppliers to have a bi-directional sort of relationship. It shouldn't just be us telling them like, hey, here's what you need to do. There's a lot to be learned from the industry and from your supply base. So I think that that's really important. But when I took this role, I actually brought technology vendor management over with me, and we have a formal SRM program that we are maturing here. And so we have vendor managers inside all of our businesses. And so a lot of what our job is to make sure that we're giving them the right frameworks, we're making sure that they're asking the right questions, and that we're getting the most value out of our suppliers. Value for scale is very important. And as I mentioned before, a lot of times we're in long-term committed relationships. And so you'd want to make sure that you're getting the most out of that long-term relationship. And so that's how we go about it, Jonathan.
So you mentioned long-term relationships. My next question was going to ask you what you think the future of FSI procurement looks like in 5 years' time. I guess your idea of a long-year relationship with the supplier probably entails 5 years. But in terms of the greater concept of technology and indeed strategy, what do you think the next 5 years holds?
Gosh, I think it's going to be fascinating. Obviously, with AI, it is going to drive change across the industry. It's going to change, and it's going to drive change across our function. It is very, very important that we stay very close to our stakeholders, make sure that we understand how these tools are impacting their business, and we need to be able to adapt and help them and embrace that change. And some of our partners might not come along for the ride. You know, there are some suppliers who are afraid of AI and what's to come. And so, you know, they're going to go in their shells or create, sometimes we call it the walled garden. I don't think that that's going to be the right approach. I think it's going to be making sure that you have partnerships. We've got to really make sure that we understand our relationships, our data, and help drive over the next 5 years with the amount of change that AI is going to bring. Just make sure that we are ready and in position to do that.
It'd be good to talk about talent, procurement talent, how the skills that you need in FSI are changing in terms of procurement talent. So I'm interested in terms of what are the skills that you need today that you didn't need 5 years ago? And what are the skills that you think you're going to need in 5 years' time that you don't have today?
For those of you listening to this in the U.S., I'm a Penn State undergrad, Michigan MBA, and I teach a case at Ohio State. And the first thing that I tell the Ohio State students is, I'm a Penn State undergrad, Michigan MBA, and this is going to be the best class you've ever taken at Ohio State. So football Saturdays, the folks in the U.S. will get that, are pretty tough from a football perspective. Mm. Ohio State's the local school here in Columbus, Ohio. And it is incredibly important that we develop skills that are really multidisciplinary. And so it's understanding contracts, understanding financials, understanding risk, understanding categories. And so if you want to be the telecom category manager, you should really understand what's happening in telecom today and what's going to happen tomorrow. So I think that's really important. I think that it's also very important that you have what historically have been called the soft skills. Things like stakeholder management, change leadership. You have to work across the business and partner with the business. In the past, say in some places, people think, oh my gosh, I have to go to procurement and I have to go and get this deal done. And so that's really not what we want. We want people to want to work with us. We're doing a lot to try to make it easier to work with procurement in a more enjoyable process. In a previous life, somebody drew an analogy to having to go and get your driver's license, the process that you have to go through to get that. And that's really not what we want. And so when I think about the future talent, it's a lot about, are you intellectually curious? Do you want to grow? Do you want to have an understanding? It's a really, really interesting job. No 2 days for me are the same. And I think that that's across my entire team. They would say the same thing. No 2 days in a sourcing and procurement role are the same, which makes it really interesting. And so if that's interesting to you, that you should definitely pursue this career. And that's what I tell the students at Ohio State. And then for the future, I think we have AI on every job description for sourcing and procurement. It's incredibly, incredibly important that anyone new that we have coming into the department, table stakes are going to be an understanding how to use everyday AI, making sure that we're automating and thinking about the best and most efficient way to serve our stakeholders.
It's at this time of the show when I normally make a joke about takeaways.
Yes,
involving
this is a marathon
food. Run. I was just going to say that is really not going to land well. I mean, the gentleman's already talking about going marathon running. Do you ever do a Hyrox? Are you ever going to do one of those challenges?
Actually, I'm going to do Hyrox in December.
See, yeah. There you go.
I was going to do November.
It'll be in Nashville in December.
Wow. Oh, crikey. Wow.
That's serious stuff.
Okay, so we will completely ignore the fact of food takeaways and takeouts. We'll cut straight to the fact of takeaways. What are your three takeaways from today's conversation?
First of all, thank you again for having me. When I think about the future of procurement and the takeaways, they are, we have to be trusted advisors. We can't just be the group that are here to cut purchase orders. There's so much more value that we can deliver to our stakeholders from a sourcing and procurement perspective. AI is the future. That's my second takeaway. We need to combine what we're getting out of this improved efficiency that we're getting out of machines to help us learn and grow and do even better and 1% better every day. And then the last piece is really, we want to treat our suppliers as long-term partners. And that's not always the case. We have to negotiate. We have a fiduciary responsibility. But often we're getting into these relationships that are going to last a really long time. And so you've got to make sure that there's some give and take on both sides and that you really think about the overall value that a relationship is bringing.
That's brilliant. Yes. I've really enjoyed today. It's been really interesting learning about how progressive procurement in Nationwide is. Joseph Hanoski, thank you so much for joining us on The Procurement Show today. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to The Procurement Show. Contact us by email, hello@theprocurementshow.com. Connect with us on LinkedIn, search for The Procurement Show, and visit us at theprocurementshow.com. You can also WhatsApp us on +44 7396 939933. The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, transforming procurement with exceptional tools and advanced training. Produced in the UK by Fresh Air Studios. The Procurement Show is copyright Positive Purchasing, all rights reserved.
Negotiating is a bit like building muscle. Without the muscle, you won't get the results. But the more you train, the stronger you get. And before you know it, you'll be the strongest. Build your negotiation muscle today. Train your team in Red Sheet Negotiation and watch them win.
Yes.
Visit Red Sheet Negotiation and find out how the top-performing companies negotiate.